Hey you guys, it's Steph. I hope you guys are doing great. It's Friday, so I'm extra happy. I've had a lot going on lately. I hope you guys have been good. It's been sunny, it's been muggy, it's the end of the summer. It's the end of the summer, but it's my favorite month because it's my birthday month, August, yeah. I'm super excited about it, and I've been really busy. I was on a couple of podcasts this week, so if you guys want to check it out, I'll have all the details in the show notes. I was on a podcast called Sexual Flavors, and this podcast features three women. They're anonymous, and they talk about life, relationships, and sex, and reproductive health in a really raw, fun, uncensored way. So raw that they are anonymous. But I was there. I was brave and I was myself. So if you want to hear me talk about science and sex and tell way too much about myself, I suggest you give it a listen. I was on another one called The Right Man Child podcast. And that one was my friend's podcast, DD. He's been on my podcast a couple of times, and so it's my time to be on his. He came up here to where I live, and we just had a full day of hanging out, and we had a really fun time recording the episode. I gave him pretty much a recap of what I've been doing all year so far. I talked more on that podcast than I normally do about myself. So if you really want to hear me spill my guts and talk about my life and my goals and my personal things, my dating, my ideas on gender, and just some science. Oh, yes, we talked about fungus or fungi, and we talked about cicadas and how the fungus uses psychedelic chemicals and methamphetamines to get the cicadas to do what it wants. So if you want to know more about that, I highly recommend you check out his podcast, The Right Man Child Podcast. I'll have the link in the show notes. And that was a really fun time. Let me know what you guys think about those. If you listen to it, I'd love to hear it. I saw Sorry to Bother You finally. Have you guys seen that movie, Sorry to Bother You? What did you think? I purposely did not watch any of the trailers. I follow all the actors, and I've been supporting and promoting them since I first heard about it. It was really good. It was really weird. It was like an instant cult classic. If you haven't seen it, do check it out, and if you have seen it, let me know what you thought about it. I'm just curious, because it was really insightful, funny, and weird. Really weird. Oh, man. This week in science, I forgot. Before I go into that, I do have a new episode of the Dope Science Show coming up. Finished editing it today. I had a bunch of technical issues, so I didn't get it up, but I will post it probably this weekend or Monday, and it features Professor Ramesh Lugana, it'll be in the show notes, and it was a really good episode. We talk about women in science and a project he's working on to showcase women in science. We talk about new technologies that will help with slowing down global warming and help with climate control or limit climate change. It was really interesting. It's really great to talk to people, especially scientists, and hear about all their diverse projects, things that you're not thinking about in your regular life. So I hope you guys enjoy that episode when it comes out. It'll be either Saturday or Monday, so keep a lookout for that. I will eventually get together a newsletter so that you guys never miss an episode, because why would you want to miss one, right? It's fun times. I do have some science for the week. Yeah! So for this week, I want to talk about a couple of things. Let's wait for that plane to go by because I'm on my lunch break and I work next to an airport. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I'm going to wait. All right. So the first article I want to talk about is, the title is Viewing Cancer Treatment as a Game to Find Strategies That Improve Patient Outcomes. Clinical adoption of adaptive treatment plans will improve physician strategy and advance the standard of care for cancer patients. This article, the source is H. Lee Moffitt Cancer Center and Research Institute. I found the article on sciencedaily.com. So I'm going to read it in summary. So basically, game theory can be utilized to identify potential flaws in current cancer treatment approaches and suggest new strategies to improve outcome in patients with metastatic cancer. I think that means that's like the terminal spreading cancer, the one that no one wants to get. The study was authored by a mathematician, an evolutionary biologist, and clinical physicians from Moffitt Cancer Center and Maastricht University. That's really cool that they collaborate across different scientific fields, because you need experts from all angles to look at a problem from a different perspective. And I find it really interesting that they're using game theory to treat cancer. So currently, most standard cancer treatments are the following. Drugs are typically administered continuously at the maximum tolerated dose. They call that MTD, until the tumor progresses. So basically, they're always giving the patient the highest volume or strength of medication until they see the tumor progress. This recent study shows that by viewing cancer therapy as a game between the treating physician and the cancer cells, continuous administration of the same drug or drugs at maximum tolerated dose fails to exploit critical advantages possessed by the physician. You might ask yourself, what are those advantages that the cancer doctor or physician has? Well, they have thinking abilities. See, people can think. We can come up with flexible, strategic ways to approach a problem. And a cancer cell or in the tumors cannot think. They're just reacting. So by exploiting the doctor's knowledge of the cancer's evolutionary dynamics, which are basically how the cancer evolves, the cancer doctor can continuously adjust drugs and the doses to delay or prevent the progression of the cancer caused by the evolution of resistance. So normally, cancer can become resistant to drug treatment because they're receiving the max dose at a continuous rate. And by switching it up and trying different techniques and different amounts, the doctor can stay ahead of the cancer. That's the theory. So the research team used mathematical modeling to investigate cancer treatment as a game played by the physician and cancer cells. In their study, the researchers demonstrate that the physician has two big advantages over his or her tumor opponents. First, the physician is rational while the cancer cells are not, right? We talked about this. And this means that the physician, by understanding the principles of evolution, can plan ahead and anticipate the tumor cell's response. Cancers, like all evolving organisms, cannot predict the future. And because of this, they're particularly vulnerable to changes in treatment by the physician. So this new approach can be possibly more effective than the current cancer treatment that most doctors are using at the moment. And the reason why is because the physician has the advantage of making the first move. This sequence of moves means that cancer treatment has a distinctive game theoretic form termed a leader, follower, or Stackelberg game. Von Stackelberg was a German mathematician who extensively investigated the game dynamics in the mid-20th century. So that's like the 1900s? I guess so. His work and that of several other game theorists have demonstrated that the leader in a Stackelberg gains a substantial advantage by using the first move to limit subsequent tumor responses. So basically, who goes first pretty much directs the game. Current treatments for metastatic cancers by giving the same drug repeatedly at the maximum tolerated dose can inadvertently increase the speed with which cancer cells can evolve effective countermeasures and then regrow, says one of the co-authors of the study. So basically, they're saying our current treatments for cancer, where we just give the max dose for this a continuous amount of time, actually is helping the cancer to grow because it's building resistance and it doesn't need to evolve or change beyond becoming more resistant. Like, you're basically, what they're saying is it gives you a disadvantage because the cancer is resisting the treatment, so you're giving the advantage to the cancer because you're not making any changes in your treatment. So this is really interesting, I think, because the way they approach it is they say, okay, when you start treatment, we need to start with a goal in mind. Is the goal to cure the patient or is it to prolong the life? And then based on your goal, that is how you will start this cancer game. I never thought of studying game theory. I'm not exactly sure I understand what game theory is, in fact. If you guys know any specialists or you know yourself information about game theory, I would love to hear about it. Send me an article, send me a referral. I would love to learn more about game theory. I like the idea of approaching life as a game and treating cancer based on mathematical models and game theory. I think I actually met someone at one point who said they were doing that, but I didn't get their contact information, unfortunately. So I think you guys, if you want to know more details about that particular article, just follow the link in my show notes and you know, let me know what you think. Do you know anything about game theory? I love hearing that we're trying new things for beating disease and cancer. Cancer is always evolving. There's so many different triggers for cancer, environmental, as well as hereditary. But the way your body reacts as far as the organisms and the cells, it's very interesting to me. It's one of my favorite subjects because I think of viruses and I think of evolution. Cancer is one of the perfect examples of seeing evolution right before your eyes in real time. So I have one more science article. And did you guys hear about Space Force? The Trump administration wants to start a new branch of the U.S. military that would be responsible for operations in outer space. The White House says, and I got this article from NPR, I'll put that in the show notes for you guys. The White House says that the Space Force will be created by 2020. Wow, so we're in 2018 and they think we'll have like a whole, is it that fast so we can create a brand new branch of government and bureaucracy in such a short amount of time? Jeez. The change would require approval from Congress, which would be a dramatic change in the organization of the Defense Department. Vice President Pence said in a speech, "We must have American dominance in space, and so we will." He said that President Trump will request $8 billion over the next 5 years to support military operations in space. Let me say that again slowly. $8 billion. $8 billion is so much money. I can't even comprehend how much money that is. It's an amazing amount of money. An amazing amount of money. Especially since supposedly we don't have any money. Pence says space is becoming a contested war-fighting domain, and we have to adapt to that reality. Actually, that was what Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said. Critics to the Space Force agree that we should have strategic significance in space, but argue that creating a Space Force is an unnecessary and expensive bureaucratic endeavor. I say It's, yeah, this sounds like a waste of money. Who's at war in space right now? No one. No one's at war in space right now. We have dominance in space, but our dominance lies in having satellites and surveillance equipment in space. The U.S. definitely has that. The U.S. military is big in space, but it's all unmanned satellites, which require like intelligence, surveillance, and people on the ground working on that. And one critic says, why do we have a navy? We have a navy to protect shipping lanes. Until we have those same needs in space, the Air Force and other services are doing all the things we need to do. So in summary, we don't need a space force, you guys. There is no need for a space force. Would you join the space force? What would we do in the space force if we're going to war beyond give fat contracts to, like, Trump friends? I think that's basically, it's just another way to, like, steal money from the country, create this whole bureaucracy, pull money out of the taxpayers and our debt, and then give contracts to friends and family who are going to build useless planes. So, yeah, and this, I'm all for science, but Space Force, not needed, you guys. And game theory against cancer, that is a good thing. If you guys have any interesting articles you'd like me to read on the show or talk about, send them to me. My email address is thedopescienceshow@gmail.com. And I hope you guys have a great, great weekend. And I'll talk to you soon. Peace.